Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
And the theme verse is found in John chapter 20, verse 21. And it refers to the aftermath of the resurrection when Jesus appeared to his disciples. And it says in verse 21 of John chapter 20, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Can you say that to your neighbor? Peace be with you. You know, for the disciples, it was a big deal. Like their master died and they didn't know what was going to happen. They had a bounty on their heads. Hey, what's going to happen? And Jesus comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." This is so huge, right? When it comes to life, we need to experience this peace. And I believe that that's what Jesus wants to do this morning. He wants to bring peace to your heart. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's pretty amazing that one of the second thing that Jesus says to his disciples is, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." First, he gives peace, then he gives a call, and then he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on them, and we see the explosion of that in Acts chapter 2. But it's pretty impressive or pretty enlightening that that is the first things that Jesus talks about. "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And it might be, it might look different for each one of us, but it means the same. I really believe that this word still resonates to us today, that God has called us to minister. And it's pretty amazing when we look at where we are in life. I look at everyone that is here, people watching online. You all have a web relationship where you know people that I don't know. And when we think about all of us, there's so many places that God has planted us, and through us, God wants to reveal himself to the nations, to the people that are around us. Amen? It's pretty amazing when you think about that. So when we look at the Great Commission, it's still going on, and this is what we want to see as a church. We want to be a church that embraces the mission. We want to be a missional church. We want to be a church that goes forward, that is not happy with the status quo, but realize that we are on a mission. The reason why we are on a mission is because there's a lot of people that haven't heard the gospel. And there's a lot of people that have walked away from their faith. There's a lot of different needs where people are blind. First, people are blind to the gospel. People are hurting. And the church is God's remedy to the world, where God uses the church to meet the needs. And that's me and you. So really, when it comes to living out our faith, we need to understand that living out our faith cannot happen without seeing the Great Commission and the call that God has put on our lives. And sometimes we complicate things, but it's not really complicated. You might put something for sale on Barrage sale. How many of you do shop on Barrage sale? Like, actually, my wife does a ton of it. I'm not too good at it, but she's amazing. But it's like you're selling something for $30 on Barrage sale. And the person is coming to get it, and you tell that person, "Hey, it's free." And you might even go a little further. Maybe it's $30 you're asking for. You say, "You know what? I'm going to give you $30 for what you're picking up. You're getting rid of my stuff anyway. I've got so much junk. Let me pay you for that." Like people get a little shock, right? They're not used to see that, right? And then it can open the door to the gospel. Like when it comes to being a witness, it's not complicated. You tell your story, you show generosity, you express concern and love, and you get people's attention. And then I believe God uses us to bring this beautiful message of the gospel, because it's the good news. When we look at where our world is, and Brenton touched that last week, when it comes to what people have tried in the last decade or in the last 50 years when it comes to humanism, and they came, society right now has come to a wall, because the reality is what they were searching for is not fulfilling. And I had the chance to preach a pastor's conference last weekend, And when talking with pastors, I was amazed to see that when it comes to coast, there's an awakening happening or a desire for God like never before, especially in the younger generation. There's a thirst to experience the supernatural. There's a thirst to see genuineness where people are tired of the show and the emptiness. And they're looking for values and they're looking for authenticity and purpose in life. And I believe that we are in a curve right now. And I am pretty excited to see what God will do. And at the same time, I know that there's lots of work to be done. But one of the things that we don't want to lose focus on is the mission. And we don't want it to get too busy with life and take care of business. And we do have to take care of business. We live in a country that has winter, right? And so we can't live in a little teepee, right? We understand there's lots that we're called to take care of. But at the same time, we're not called to lose the big picture. And we don't want to be caught up with the things that are insignificant and not of eternal value, right? So when we understand the mission and we understand the call of God upon us, I believe it plays on our prayer life. It plays on our generosity, on our lifestyle, and purpose in life. It really does. And when you look at the commission that the Lord gave to the church, the mandate of the church, like the mandate on the church, like I said, as the Father sent the Son is sending us. And you look at Matthew 28, verse 19, a text that you all know, that we all know, because it talks about the Great Commission. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We saw 45 baptisms last weekend. That was pretty impressive, right? So amazing to see a response to God's call. We saw around 80-some people wanting to be a partner where they wanted to get involved or committed to the house, and that's pretty impressive. And we want to see more of that. If you look at verse 20, it says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Saying you're not doing this alone, I'll be with you. And we see the fulfillment of that in Acts chapter 2 when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. But there's a mandate on the church to move in mission and to cross the road or to walk across a room and share our faith. And I believe that we're called to go and we're called to make disciples. And I shared 2 weeks ago, I opened up the series 2 weeks ago, and I talked about the difference between a cruise ship and a rescue ship. And I just want to give you a little difference between the two. A cruise ship focuses on comfort. It's comfort driven. And the rescue ship is focused on mission. It's mission driven. Cruise ship passengers are served. Crew members are trained and deployed. On a cruise ship, entertainment is expected. On the rescue ship, sacrifice is embraced. On the big ship, success is measured by satisfaction. On the rescue ship, success is measured by lives saved. On a cruise ship, focus is inward. What can I get out of it? And on a rescue ship, its focus is outward. Who can we reach? Cruise ship, everyone is relaxing and consuming. On the other ship, everyone is alert and contributing. The other ship, the first ship, leadership is for keeping people happy. When it comes to the rescue ship, leadership is for equipping and sending. Focus on a cruise ship, safety and luxury are the priorities. Urgency and readiness are the priorities on the rescue ship. Goal in the cruise ship is to enjoy the ride. Rescue ship is the goal is to save the drowning. Maintenance is what is. Mobilization is what could be. What a difference between the two. And the question I have is, what kind of church are we? Or what kind of church we want to become? And I would agree, and we would all agree, that we don't want to be a cruise ship. As much as a cruise ship sounds exciting, right? And sounds fun. But we understand that we are on a mission. When Jesus rose from the dead and told his disciples, "As the Father sent me, I send you, so I have this calling and you have this calling. And God wants to reconcile the world through you. He wants to his son to be known as the one that saves and heals and restores and bring us this peace and reconciliation with the Father. And that's going to happen through me and you. It can be in our workplace. It can be in our neighborhood. It could be when you go shopping, wherever you go, you are aware that you are on a mission. And again, it's not easy because we get caught with all the different things of life and we miss out on opportunities to talk about our beloved Jesus. So what we want to be, we want to be a rescue ship. Amen? We want to be a rescue ship. Sorry for the whistling. The goal of the church is to see an audience become an army. That's the goal of the church. It's to see an audience responding to God's call and be this army that goes in the name of the Lord. I believe that God is bringing ascending movement in the church. And as I'm talking to other pastors across the nation, I believe there's this call and this urgency to raise leaders. I believe there's a climate change happening. Not climate change, but a climate change in the church. And God wants to do a work of raising up leaders. And this morning, what I'd like to talk about is raising up leaders from within. What I'm going to share to you this morning, this message, I'm so excited to share it to you. At the same time, it's been brewing in my heart for a long time. Not the message, but the root of the message, or what I believe God wants to do in Gospel Mission Church. I believe that there's a not a new direction, but I believe that the pilot of the boat is turning the wheel and says, this is the direction I want you to go. And I really believe it's focused on the mission, but not just seeing mission as being overseas, as mission is overseas, but is also everywhere where there's a need. As we're looking at our nation has become a mission field. And even when we look at our region, God has sent the nation to our region. And we're saying, God, what do you want us to do? And I believe it's important to realize that God has placed a call upon Gospel Mission Church. And this calling involves raising up leaders, investing in one another. This is why we have kids ministry. This is why we have junior youth, senior youth, young adults, small groups, and so on. It's because we know that we have a call of raising up the next generation. This is why we have the Hearing God Seminar, the Set Freeze, the Foundational Course, the Go Series. All the things that we have is to equip so that we can fulfill our mission. Because we don't want to be a Sunday morning church, right? We don't want to be a Sunday morning church where we come and then we go back home. We want to see the call of God take root into our hearts, transpire through our lives, and fulfilling the mission that God has placed upon me, on you, and on us. Amen? So why are we called to raise leaders? Why are we called to raise leaders? The first reason is why, the reason why Jesus modeled it. Jesus, that's what he did. When we look at the life of Jesus, we understand he came as God himself, the incarnation of God, took form of a man, was born in as a babe in a manger, and laid his life down and became the bridge between humanity and the Father by taking, absorbing the sin of humanity, and at the same time absorbing this the holiness that God demands. And because of that, we're reconciled with God. That's the message of the gospel. But at the same time, he came to raise a team. He came to raise leaders. And you find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, designing them apostles, that they might be with him, and that they might send them, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. When we look at this, we see that the mandate of Jesus was to invest in others. It was to raise leaders. And we know what happened with the 12, right? We know that they were in the upper room. We also know, according to traditions, how they died, how they lived for the gospel, and they embodied the message of the gospel. And we understand that Jesus did not just attract followers, but he focused on raising leaders. And leadership development was in the core of his mission. It was his strategy to his strategy. This is where my French kicks in. It was in the core of his mission. Got to raise leaders. And he said to his disciples, you will do greater things than I've done. And he says, it's better for me to go. And then I will be with you by the Holy Spirit. I'll be the head of the church. I'll be able to multiply myself through you like there's churches happening all over the planet today. And Christ is involved in his body, the church. And it's amazing what happens when we respond to the call of discipleship. I think about the upper room. There was 120 people, like maybe a fifth of the numbers we have here, or just maybe this wing. They were in the upper room. You know, it's not a lot of people. 120 people that were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that were willing to be used by God, saying, God, I'm saying yes for you to persuade me. I say yes to you. And so they went in the upper room and they waited for 10 days, and we'll talk more about that on Pentecost. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out, and here we are today. It was a domino effect. It was a relay race. They lived out their faith and shared the gospel of Christ, filled a void that was in the heart of humanity, because humanity is in need of that peace that fits in them, that is only the gospel can fit, that is Jesus Christ. And they went on and went on, and here we are today. And so Jesus modeled it. This is what Jesus wanted to do, raise leaders. And I think if Jesus modeled it and Jesus' goal was to make disciples and raise leaders, I think the church should do the same. Would you agree? I believe that. Why are we called to raise leaders? Well, the early church practiced it. That's what they did in the early church. We see John Mark, that was the disciples of Peter. You see Titus and Paul. And you see this all over in the book of Acts. And then you look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So here we see we're just seeing a snapshot of the whole story. But what happened is the church of Antioch was years ahead of the church of the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was not moving very much, but the church of Antioch, they were a launching pad. They were not just a landing strip. They were a launching pad. And you find in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, after the conversion of the apostle Paul, then Barnabas went to Tarsus and looked for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Antioch was a place where people were raised and sent. What a beautiful picture of the church. What a vibrant picture of what the church is called to be. Right? Where we see people that are broken, and like Paul, that was a persecutor of the church, he's taken by Barnabas, sowed in, invested in him. And the apostle Paul is one of the guys that wrote most of the epistles that we find. But we see this church that was not just about gathering. It was not just about living for themselves. It was a place where, I'll rephrase this, it was not just a landing pad or a landing strip, it was a launching pad. So we want to be a landing strip. We want people to hear the gospel. We want to see people come here. But we also need to realize that God has called us to be a launching pad. Amen? To see God send us. And I believe this is what God wants to do in Gospel Mission Church. The Antioch church became a missional hub where leaders were raised in community and sent by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we find in the pattern of the early church. The third reason why we're called to raise leaders is because the mission is too big for a few. The mission is too big for a few. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus expresses that in verse 36. He says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's the reason why he came, right? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And actually, it was them that went into the they prayed for the harvest master to raise up leaders to go into the mission field, but it was them that went, and they trained others to go along. But the reality is the mission is there's too much to do for a selected few. It has to be a body that is empowered. Would you agree? It has to be the body. And I believe there's going to be a day, there's going to be a revival, a breakthrough. It's going to be a nameless, faceless revival where it's not going to be linked to one man, but it will be linked to the body that understands the mission and responds to the call of God. And this is where God will do amazing, amazing things. The pastorate is a quote from the pastorate, is a fellowship of churches focusing on raising up leaders. And it says, some denomination report that for every new pastor stepped into senior role, 7 senior pastors are retiring, highlighting a significant imbalance in leadership succession. Right now, what's happening, 7 for every 1 senior pastor that's starting in ministry, there's 7 that are quitting for whatever reason, because they're getting old and for other reason. So what's going to happen to the church in the next decade? And God is not surprised by that. God is not saying, well, what's going to happen now? No, he is stirring up right now in the church. I believe, like I said, there is a sending movement that God is bringing, and God is responding to this crisis. It's not something that we can do as a people. It's not something that a leadership can decide and make it happen. It has to be birthed by God. It has to be led by God, inspired by God, and I believe God is doing it. And so when we look at the reality, in the decade, there's going to be a lot of churches that will that might close unless God leads, and I think he's leading it. And secondly, if people respond to the call. So why do we need to raise up leaders is because the mission is huge. There's so many places, so many different needs. Fourth reason why we want to raise leaders is because we are stewards of the future. We are one generation away from leadership collapse. One generation away from leadership collapse in the church if we don't invest now. We don't just inherit the church and enjoy what has already been done. We're called to bring it further. We're called to step further. Like, we want to see our ceiling be the floor to the next generation. And we got to prepare the way for God to move. And we see, even in the thought of the Hebrew people, they did it, they knew about that. They made sure there would be succession. If you look at Psalm 78, verse 5, it says, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Jerusalem, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet not born, and they in turn would tell their children. And that's what we're trying to do with all the different ministries we have in church. It's to see the older invest in the younger and so on. But that's the mandate of the church. We got a steward. We're called to manage the future by raising up leaders. We find Paul saying the same thing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The thing which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see here is like Paul invests in Timothy, and he says to Timothy, you invest in other people so that they will do what and speak what I spoke. So it's a relay race, and we need each other. The other reason why we're called to raise leaders is because there's a harvest coming. In John chapter 4, verse 35 says, do you not save 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields for their ripe for harvest. But what if God has a harvest that or a move that he's bringing? What if God brings revival, but the church is not ready? What if God is on the move? We need to respond to that, right? And I believe this is where we are as a church. As believers, as followers of Jesus, I really believe that God is wants to tug our hearts to respond to this amazing call. If I just share you my heart this morning, is I really feel that we're in a season of multiplication. But not just multiplication as seeing our church being filled, but the multiplication of leaders. That we are called to raise leaders, and we're called to see people responding to the call that God has upon their lives. There's some of you that when you were in your early 20s, you felt God's call, and you felt, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a leader. And then you got married, and you had 5 kids. And now you're in your 30s, and you say, how do I handle that? But God never removed this call. Right? And the thing is, you might feel a call of God, but you can't go to, I don't know, Vancouver for 5 years and spend $100,000 to go to Bible college and seminary, and you can't afford it. But you still have this call upon your heart. So what are we called to? So what do we do? So what do we do when it comes to you, when it comes to people that have a call when they're a little older in life, or when it comes to how do you manage through that? And I believe that that's what we're called to do. And we want to create a place for that. And the thought I want to share is, how does it start? How do we do this? Well, it starts with prayer. It starts by creating a game plan and having a strategy to a strategy. I have a problem with that word. Strategy to make that happen. Like what we want to do is on May the 27th at 7 p.m., we want to have an information meeting in regard of starting a ministry track. And we have GMDS that is amazing for younger generation. That's part of it. But how do we raise leaders? How do we train leaders for ministry? And where does it start? Well, it starts in the heart. It starts by being compelled by the Lord because of the call and because of the needs. It starts by being available. It starts with a desire to be mentored and trained. I don't have a lot of time here. I just want to read a verse to you. It's an amazing text that for me was influential in my life when it comes to ministry. It's Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. I'm just going to read verse 7. Jeremiah is crying out to the Lord. He responded to God's call. He's struggling. It's not an easy thing. The problem with Jeremiah, he's speaking the truth, and all the prophets are speaking lies, where the other prophets are saying everything is fine, everything is dandy, and he's saying no judgment is coming. And because of that, there's persecution. But what he says in verse 7 that is quite significant, that really gets my attention, he says, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You're stronger than I and have prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocks me." But I'd like to focus on the word induced. And it's, in Hebrew, it talks about of being open to, being persuaded, being enticed, to be wooed, to be drawn in, to be seduced, to open the mind or heart, to make vulnerable and trustful. What it talks about is God gets a hold of your heart. You're drawn in. You are persuaded by Him. Like, ministry starts by being captured. Can you tell your neighbor, "I want to be captured"? Ministry starts by being captured. And not just commissioned. Being captured is where God takes a hold of your heart. And it's not, there's a battle there. Because when you open the door to God and you say, "God, persuade me. I'm open for you to persuade me. I'm open for you to take a hold of my heart." It might involve sacrifice. It might involve letting go of stuff. It might mean prioritizing things that are not on the list. But the thing is, imagine if all of us, we let God persuade us. Like Jeremiah, when he got this call, he was about 14 years old. When the Lord says, "I'll put words in your mouth and I will use you," and all this, he was about 14. He didn't even know what he was signing up to. But he let God conquer his heart. He let God persuade him. Like he says, you're stronger than me, God. And God won his heart. And because of God winning his heart, and because he did let God win his heart, he became a prophet for Judah, a spokesman. And we talk about him today, thousands of years later. So my thought is, God is on the move and God is at work. Will I let him persuade me? Will I let him get my heart? Like you might be a business owner. You might be a little advanced in age. And I've got a verse for you. Not a verse, but Caleb was 85 when he was asked, when he took Hebron, the mountain, Mount Hebron. And Mount Hebron, there's a lot of amazing things that happened on that mountain. But he was 85. He was captured. He was captured in his heart, you see? And I believe the church needs to be captured. I need to be captured. Like, you know the challenge? I've been in the ministry for 37 years. And when I was dealing with this, I was saying, God, do I want to be captured? Because I know all the things of the past. But if I'm not captured, what am I going to do? Am I going to coast through life? And being captured between me and you might look different. But my call this morning, my heart to you, is that you would let God capture your heart. And you would say, persuade me, Lord. Take a hold of my heart. Like I said, it might be for ministry, like when it comes to raising up leaders, and we'll have that moment in the future. But it's also when it comes to life. God, persuade me. And Jeremiah was able to say, I've let you persuade me. You're stronger than I. You won me. You won, Lord. Here I am. Have your way in my life. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not following Jesus. Maybe at one point you did follow Jesus, but you walked away from the faith. Or maybe Christianity is so superficial, it's cultural for you. What a great day to give your life to the Lord or to recommit your life to him. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise up your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Thank you. Someone else? Thank you. Thank you. Someone else? Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for making a way for me. And we thank you for your grace towards me, that you love me to the point that you gave your son so I can be reconciled with you. So I say yes to Jesus. I receive you, Jesus, as my healer. I ask you to forgive my sin, my independence that I walked away from you. May you forgive it, Lord. And may you take my life. I give you my life. Come back, Lord, in my life. Be in the center of my life if you walked away from him. Or maybe it's the first time this morning. Ask Jesus to come in your life. Go to the prayer room after and receive prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you resist God persuading you. And you're saying no. Or maybe you put it on the shelf. I invite you just to take a moment to say, God, I give you freedom in my life. I want to be persuaded. I want to be won over. You can verbalize that to him this morning. And Father, as a church, we don't only want to be a landing strip. We want to be a launching pad. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be a launching pad. Help us to be a church that raises leaders in the marketplace and leaders for ministry so that we can fulfill the mission that you've called us to go and make disciples of every nation. So, Father, may you be glorified and may you be lifted up in this place. And all the people of God said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.